get all the way up to Ezra tonight, but I don't know if I'll make it there. But the Lord's laid on my heart, and I know many of you agree, that it's time for the church and the church as a whole to step up its intercession in prayer. How many agree with that? That I believe that God does nothing outside of prayer. And I know that he can do anything himself. But do you ever notice that it's always by faith? It's always by you ask. Are you with me there? And usually when he meets a need, there's always some little substance that we give in a portion. When he fed the 5,000, what did he look for? Just a little bit of food, true? I mean, the Lord will use what we have. But there's areas that the Lord wants to unlock and release that I really believe the church needs to step into. Could you imagine if every born-again, Bible-believing believer sought the Lord with all their heart right now on planet Earth? I believe it would change the atmosphere in Christianity. But see, the enemy wants to lull us to sleep and say, everything's okay, you're okay, do what you want to do. That's not biblical Christianity. The Bible says we got to continue to pray and seek his face. Like I shared last week, the tendency of fire is to go out. We have to stoke that up. We have to continue. And I know that one thing, when you're praying and interceding, you're becoming more unselfish than you were before. And when you start being selfish and be unselfish, you really start to enter into where Jesus is at. Could you imagine Jesus coming to this planet? He's only going to be here a very short time. He's going to give of his life, and he's going to build the church while he's alive. He's going to call 12 guys out, and they're going to be world changers. You think that's a pretty heavy load? Yes or no? And then to deal with all the religiousness that was going on, all the things that were attacking everywhere, that's a great thing. And yet to pray for the whole city, to pray for the world, and to pray for us while he was here. Say amen. I'm thankful we have the Holy Ghost now in us that enables us to do. I really believe as Christians we need to rely more on the Holy Spirit. And you can't be in the Spirit and be in the flesh. Are you with 1 Timothy chapter 2? Are you there? Let's look at verse 1. Let's start there. Therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all. Somebody say all men. All of a sudden, you become a world changer in your prayer time. If you're praying in the Spirit, I really believe that God can use those words to touch Indonesia. Yes or no? You're not limited just by what you know or who you know when you're in the Holy Ghost. Notice that prayers and intercession, when giving of thanks, look at verse 2, for kings and all those that are in what? Listen, those two verses alone will cause your prayer life to expand. Our job is to pray for our president. Are you with me? Our job is to pray for those that are in authority, not only local levels, but also in the church level. I want you to pray for me as your pastor. I'm not ashamed to say that. I want you to pray for me. I want to grow greater than ever grown before. I want this coming year to be the greatest year I've ever had in my life with God. Just like I want that for you. Look at this verse. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life with all godliness and reverence. If we could live that type of life, that's a satisfying life. I personally believe this. That if you're not in intercessing and praying for others, this portion starts to wane. When I keep myself in prayer and I keep that thing top notch, it helps me to deal with all the battles that come my way. How many ever been attacked and you've been kind of low? Your battery tank's been a little bit empty. Not gone, but a little bit low. Amen? But I also know this, that I've been on that pinnacle when things couldn't be any better and all of a sudden take the biggest blow ever and you feel like you're at the rock bottom. Am I talking to anybody in here? So somewhere in the middle there has to be this area where, Lord, you're able to keep me from falling, keep me from those areas. Prayers and intercession and giving thanks is something that comes from our hearts. All of us in this room need to step up praying for others. We need to step it up. Well, I'm not asking the world to change if I'm not changing the world. When I look at my own life, Lord, I need this time. I need this time to seek you. When I look at all the needs today, now how many here wear glasses or have to have some type of reading situation? Just lift your hand. Okay, that's over 95% of us in here. I'd like to see even our vision change. Yes or no? Can God do that? In the early morning prayer time we had at 10, I had a testimony. I was talking to Jeff Chandler on Sunday, and he heard a testimony that an evangelist came to this pastor's meeting, and he was preaching the word, and the pastor was really on God bringing healing, virtue, change in lives. Well, this evangelist came back a couple years later and said, "Pastor, why aren't you preaching about healing and all that?" He says, "Well, I still do, but my congregation, they're all whole, they're all healed, so I moved on." How many believe the Lord can do that? In my personal prayer time, I believe the Lord can heal a congregation. There's where my faith is. I believe that God can do it. Does anybody believe that? If he can take the children of Israel out of there and not one feeble one among them, come on. How many of us, God can still do it today? Somebody ought to be excited in here. Then Lord Jesus, you do that. Amen? If God's good, he is always good. When we pray for kings and those in authority, that means our president, our governor. Listen, many times if we start to pray for people, we're not so quick to criticize them. Now, are they perfect people? Absolutely not. Do they make mistakes? Absolutely. Are there some brash things that go on? Yes. There are some things that I'm not proud of. But my job is still to pray. Amen? I still believe that any man or woman, God can still get a hold of them. They have to totally reject it. And can you imagine bathing? We need that. What about God moving on our House and Senate? They all meet and the Holy Ghost comes down. Wham! If we're expecting God to move, sometimes I think we hope and we kind of go, well, maybe it'll happen. No, I want things to happen. I'm expecting things to happen. I'm just not going through this life going, well, Lord, if it's your will, you'll do this. No, God wants to save and he wants to do it now. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And when I look at his power, does God have power? Does he? Then we need to experience more of that in our lives. When I'm starting to pray and intercede, that power of God starts to flow in there. And I know when I get full, I can start to spill. So a lot of my prayer time, there are first, when I start to pray, I have to unload a bunch of thoughts. Sometimes the Lord is actually arranging my day. So sometimes I'll take a pad of paper or a pen, and I'll just da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I want to unload all that stuff so I don't have to think about it. Amen. And sometimes I went back to that and went, okay, yeah, I had to, good. God can arrange it. I like it when God just takes it all and goes, shh, makes it all straight. Anybody with me? Kind of quiet today. When I look today, look at verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior. If this is good and acceptable, then I want that to be part of my life. When we look at verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at God, his whole heart is that I want them to have this, what you possess now. So when he's working on people, our job is, Lord, touch their, open up their understanding. Lord God, just bring that. And how did ever you get saved? I'll be honest with you. How did God ever reach you that you would know the revelation you already do? It's such a miracle, true? And when I think about it this morning on my way in here, I was thinking about some. I really enjoy history. I do. I really do. And I was thinking about all the so-called great people that have been over the years, over the decades, over the thousands of years, that each one of them will stand before the King of Kings and give account of their life. That their title here will not persuade him there. Because he is King of Kings. When I think of all the kings in Egypt and the queens and all those, every one of them will bow their knee and confess Jesus as Lord to the glory of God the Father. So when I look at every generation, it is so crucial that life is so short. And look at all of us. We're getting older slowly and suddenly. Sometimes you look back and go, where did all that time go? Come on, you remember when you were a lot younger? Yes or no? Now, some of you got kids that are like, man, I remember when I was your age. Now you got kids that age. When I look at Jesus, he's not willing that any should perish, that in my heart, then I need to be there. Amen? Now hold your finger there and turn to Exodus 32 for a second. Hold your finger in 1 Timothy. Flip over to Exodus 32. When God's desire is that all men to be saved, even in the Old Testament, they had this inclination from the Holy Ghost. Exodus 32, look at verse 32. It says, yet now, if you will forgive their sins, but if not, I pray, Lord, blot my name out of your book, which you have. How on earth did Moses ever know? Come on. How many knows there's revelation in every book? Do you know what Jesus said? Moses saw my day in what? How many knows that's a reality? Old and new, there was a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, how many knows there's a Lamb's Book of Life? Yes or no? When I look at that area, when God says, hey, when you get saved, I write your name in that book. Not that he forgets your name, but it's a seal. It's a signet. It's an assurity. It's saying, you know what? You belong to me, and I've written your name down. And you know what? No one's going to blot. I'm the only one that can blot out anything. But your name is written in heaven now. Isn't that cool? Yeah. That you have access to and fro. Jesus paid the price. And God wants more of that to happen for individuals. Heaven rejoices over one person who repents. So the church needs to intercede. We need to pray. We need to pray and then go. God, empower us to go. And when you're filled with the Spirit, witnessing becomes a whole lot easier. Amen. You don't have to shift into a mode or worry about it. And then the next thing is, we need to forget about fear. Always look at people as they're just flesh too. They're just flesh too. And when I keep that in mind, it doesn't matter if they're big, small, large, whatever. Lord, they need Jesus. Today, more than ever, people are crying out. They really are. The Holy Spirit helps us. You know, in Romans chapter 8, he helps our weaknesses. But you know, the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. And that's awesome, because those deep revelations become our portion in prayer. When the Holy Spirit teaches you, it's the greatest teacher ever. And when God speaks something to you, you know it's God, because you'll never forget it. Amen? Amen? When I look at Jesus, he always makes intercession for us. Isn't that neat to know? That if we ask, Lord Jesus, forgive me, it's like it's pardoned in heaven. The blood's there. Jesus, that blood's been sprinkled there. I love that. It's fulfilled in every area. And when I look at heaven, all of us are so close to going there. All of us are. We're one breath away from being in that eternity. Let's face it, there's a few years for all of us. And I'm going to talk about a few years from eternity from now. It's a few years for all of us. Then one day we'll be there. So our mission is still here. Amen? Our mission is still now. But notice how the enemy is bringing every distraction possible our ways. He's trying to keep our minds occupied, trying to keep our hearts there. And some things may not be sin, but it's invading our life. If something's taken your devotion away, it needs to stop. Amen. Amen? Well, there's nothing I've shared so far that you don't already know. But we have to hear it. We have to go over it. We have to sow it in, and we have to teach others too. It's time to seek the Lord while he may be found. Here's what I believe. If the church really believes that Jesus is going to do something, then they need to spend time with him. Amen? We just can't wish and hope. And there's so much of that today in Christianity. Oh, if God's going to do it, he's just going to do it because he's sovereign. No, God wants to do it through you. And I don't want to get on the other side and go, you know what? I could have made a difference if I'd have done something better here. I want to do it now. Amen? I want to learn now the principles. Character is something you're going to carry with you right into eternity. Amen? You'll be known as you're known. Is this good so far? When I look at everyone here, I want us all to begin to pray. Well, what keeps us from praying? You know, I noticed, how many ever had a heavy burden on you and it just like kept, zapped your strength? Anybody here? How many had a relationship that went south and you're like, oh man, it just bothers you. And bothers you for days. It's like, man, you really want to pray. It's really in your heart, but it's like it's heavy. Listen, the Holy Ghost knows that we're going to experience that on this planet. So he's made a way in prayer to lift that off. I believe there are times that you have to battle through that and say, no, that's not my portion. God, you said in Isaiah 58, verse 6, is this not the fast I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Well, Lord Jesus, then that's my portion. Stop accepting things just because they're happening. If it's not the Lord in this area, then boom, I'm coming against it. That's good preaching today. Listen, there are times in our own life that things will come that way, but you know what? You don't have to stay in that arena. I said, you don't have to stay in that arena. Your body has never been designed for sin, nor has it been designed by, man, for heaviness and weight. It ages us, true? Man, it makes us old quickly. How many ever lost some sleep dealing with something? Now, be honest with me. How many ever been an emotional wreck? Man, you just didn't know what to do. How many ever had that time where your mind is just racing a million miles? It's like the only thing you really need is somebody to tackle you and just hold on to you till that all that just kind of settles down. Amen? When I look at Jesus able to do all this, he knew we would face all of this. Every emotion we would face as believers. But there's something about being in the Holy Spirit allows us to be what we should be, even in those times. Amen. Jesus knows what it's like to be stressed out. Man, he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like more than we could ever imagine. Could you imagine facing a crucifixion voluntarily? Not because you've sinned. Not because you've been caught in some crime, you're willing to give yourself a ransom for many and allow them to have the fullness of the demonic manifestation upon you. When you think about how many things were done by the Roman soldiers that were just unbelievably evil, some of those people were possessed. And believe me, they were possessed that whipped Jesus. They were possessed who beat him. There's no doubt about that. But he allowed himself to become sin who knew no sin. And then thinking about all the cares of all the people. The Apostle Paul made it so plain. He said, you know what? I know I'm going to give my life in Rome, but I carry on me the weight of all the churches. Because I know when I depart, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock. Even that pain of watching other people fail was the greatest pain Paul experienced. Like all of us in here, we have a short time to make the biggest impact. So the Holy Spirit will take our moments and make them years. He'll take our moments and all of a sudden transform areas. We need to start believing as we intercede that places are going to change. That even continents will change. Amen? Now if you would, flip over to Mark chapter 3. Let's see how far we can get tonight. I want to get to Ezra, but we'll see how far we get. In Mark chapter 3, verse 27, many of you know this portion of Scripture. Tell me when you got it. It says, no one, say no one. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, then he can plunder his house. If we're asking God to do something, we have to come against the enemy and bind his power. We just can't go, well, everything's okay, we're just going to pray, praise the Lord, and go home. No, if you're going to take on the enemy's territory, you have to enter into that arena and grab a hold of that and seize it. He made it so plain, like, listen to me, there's a huge dude holding this back, and you got to come against that in my name. But any believer, whether they were a child as well as a senior, has the power and the authority over every work of the enemy. Isn't that cool? Now, I've noticed when the enemy attacks, he always brings a bunch of fear against us. He tries to paralyze us. If he can't get us off track, he'll try to paralyze us in fear. He'll try to bring up something. How many of you have just been afraid before? Like, you were just afraid, whether a report or whatever. And I'm not talking about just somebody jumping behind the door and jumping out at you. I mean, that fear kind of creeped in. But if we're going to take on what God has, then you know what? There's power in the name of Jesus. Then I have to start looking at people. You know what? Pray that people's eyes are open, they're understanding. That happened for us. Pray that when the Holy Word is preached, that faith will arise. I can see faith at times, you guys, honest to God. There are times when I'm preaching that I can see faith being built in people, like, yeah, yeah. We need that across the board because we can be so distracted, even on a Sunday, to go, oh, that was good, and forget everything that was preached by the time we make it to the door. Only one person said amen. Is that true? How many of us, sometimes we can be distracted? But then there are times where, like, I got it. And then you can speak it back. I mean, we need to keep ourselves in that arena. If we could just keep about 50% of every sermon we've already heard, we'd be unbelievable. True? Amen? When I look at the strong man, he's on every home. He's on every thought. Think about the wickedness that's in the world. Satan knows, listen, who's living for the Lord. He really does. It said it in Acts. He knows who's living for the Lord. Well, he doesn't like Lighthouse Church. Not because we're special, but because there's people here who want to live for God and serve him all out. That makes it a marked territory. He knows that the gospel's being preached. So if I'm the enemy, I'm going to just say, oh, I got that church. They're at ease. I'm just going to lull them to sleep, keep them in that arena, but I'm going to go after that. It doesn't mean he doesn't attack those individuals. But listen, when he's got him already bound, who wants to stir up that? Amen? Oh, Lord, open up my eyes to see, my ears to hear. This is serious business, kingdom business. And warfare business always has casualties too. There are, as much as I hate to say it. There are times in our spiritual walk that we're going to find somebody who's been injured. We have to go after them. I love the military which says, no man left behind. And there are guys who have that as a code. I'm not leaving without you. Amen? If I have to hunker down, I'm going to be there. Amen? I had a friend of mine that came back. He was a pilot. And there were some ground troops there, and their troop got just decimated. And there was a few guys left back behind the lines. And he got a call that, hey, there's a couple guys left there. I need you to do air support until they can get those guys. So he got this radio call, and he saw them. They were hiding off to the side. And he said this other troops were coming in. He says that he fired up them guns, and he was just blasting them every time he came in. Blah, 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 blah. And he kept them all at bay until these two guys escaped. That was a pretty cool mission, amen? Amen? He says, I was going to use everything in my arsenal to protect those two. That should be our heart. Everything in our arsenal should be to help one another. Amen? And not leave until they're rescued. How about this? Not leave until they're saved. We need to have that together. We need to look at that and say, you know what? Everything in my arsenal, I'm going to put there every time. Amen? And I thought every time, and he said this, my heart raced. He goes, when I went by and I did all that, because it took a time, I could flip back around, but I still had to make another run. And every time I'm looking, are those guys okay? Because when I was blinded just for a moment, I hope they were okay. Well, here's the truth. If we're all praying that when I make that pass, you're going to make the next pass. That person will never feel like they. No one should ever feel like they've been left alone. But if you think about the church, most people don't even know what warfare is. They don't even know the enemy even fights them. They just, what is that? I don't know. What is this? We're just on our way. Come on. Listen, there is a reason why there is boot camp. They talked a little bit on it on Monday. We have to have a time where, Lord, it's serious kingdom business. If we're going to take hold of the strong man, then we have to bind his work. Pull down every stronghold. I know people that have held doctrine up higher than Jesus' name. This is what I believe, and no one's going to change my mind. Amen? I remember one time in my own personal family, my dad and his brothers were together, and when they used to drink, they'd talk about religion. It was amazing. It was amazing. It would come out like a river. And it was so wrong Well, there's a million ways to get to heaven. And they talk about Buddha and Confucius and Muhammad. They go the whole gamut. And I'd say something like, but Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, it's like, wham. Well, there's got to be more than just one way. Yeah. Jesus said, I'm it. Yep. He said, I'm it. How many of you can't argue with a drunk? And neither should you. Yeah. Amen? But Lord, speak a word to their spirit. And I pray, Lord, when they're sober, we can talk a little more that's favorable. Amen? But Lord, how about bring down every stronghold? Amen? I've seen this happen for my sister. I have a twin sister. And when we were in she was going into her 9th grade or 10th grade, something like that. I never forget, we were interceding for my family, my sister. And it was the most miraculous salvation I've ever saw in my life. For some of you know, my sister had a dream that she woke up in hell. And she was literally burning in the flames. And she rolled out of bed and she knelt there and said, Jesus, save me. I came down, my bedroom was upstairs. I came downstairs. She says, you'll never guess what happened. I got saved this morning. I'm like, it was like a Saturday morning or something. I'm like, you didn't go to church anywhere. You didn't go anything. I go, tell me what happened. She goes, I had a dream. And I woke up in hell and I could feel the flames. And I could hear the screams of all the people. And it was deafening. It was so descriptive. And there wasn't much she knew about the word. But it was so descriptive. And she said this, the Lord wants me to clean up my life, clean up my room, clean up everything. And my sister was one that had every poster of every band and guy on the planet. Amen? Back then they had records. How many remember records? The real vinyl. My sister had, we had stacks of them. And she said, you know what? The Lord wants me to clean all this out. And she did just like begin to tear it all down. And she said, will you help me burn this? We had a fire barrel outside. So I said, yes, I will. And I remember grabbing her hands, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, you'll consume everything in this barrel in Jesus' name. And we kept throwing those records and everything in there. And it took us about an hour to burn all this stuff. And I'll never forget this. I remember looking down in the barrel. There wasn't a piece of plastic. There wasn't a melted thing. There wasn't a poster. There was nothing left but ash. I'm serious. I was blown away like, cool, our God's a consuming fire. And ever since that day, my sister has lived for God. How many knows that can happen to anyone? It happened in my own family. Listen, we need to pray, Lord, bring it upon them, Lord God. Change them. Come down. Family's eating at dinner. Lord, come down upon him. If we're interceding, we're asking, but bind the strong man. Just don't hope he goes away. Listen, too many times people have left the door open. He's walked right in and dying there. No, it's time to shut that door. And I'm going after his territory. Believe me, it's all fortified. But you have more power than he has. So when I look at it, what keeps people out? Strongholds. And strongholds can be arguments. They can be thoughts. They can be things that crept in. Bring them down. Amen? It's amazing how many people know a little bit about Jesus, but a whole lot more about all this other goofy stuff. Amen? Listen, it's not a little bit of Jesus and a lot of the world. No, it's him and his word. The enemy hates the word of God. Do you know that? He hates it. He hates it. And can you imagine America will be held so much accountable for how much word of God and teaching we've had in this country. You can find a Bible at the grocery store as well as the party store. In fact, you can get a free Bible anywhere in America. I know for a fact. If you don't have one, you can steal one from the Gideons. Amen? They're in a hotel room. And I'm not saying don't steal a Bible. But I met somebody who stole one and got saved, so praise the Lord for that. But can we do a church? Do we need to make it a priority? Yes. Then we need to focus in on those areas. Then when you pray, Lord God, open up their eyes to see, their ears to hear. Lord, bring down every stronghold. And when you run out of English language, pray in the Holy Ghost in that same heart. Yes. Have that on your mind, but speak in the Spirit for that. He may bring something to mind, but now you're taking that power to another level. And believe me, every prayer prayed in the Holy Ghost is answered. Because you can't mess it up in yourselves. Amen? These foundational truths we need to have and work within us. Because when we're in the flesh, we're never pleasing the Lord. Never. We're always working in that area. Amen? Now turn to Ezra chapter 4. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we make it here. Ezra chapter 4. When Satan's method of working is to hinder always what God is doing. And when you go to Nehemiah and Ezra, there are a lot of parallels there. And some of this teaching, you probably heard a teaching from Nehemiah on this. But Christ today wants to build his church, but Satan always seeks to hinder it. And I got a few ways his methods he attacks. Number one, if you're taking notes. The first method he uses to attack is an unholy union. And in Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, there were many adversaries in Judah and Benjamin, and they heard that the captivity was building the temple of Israel. Then Zerubbabel, the head of the fathers of the house, said, "We let us build with you. For we seek your God as you do. We sacrifice him even as you do." Now, let me say something here. They came up to the Israelite and says, "You know what? We serve the same God you do. Let us help build." There are sometimes people will enter the church that has a nice smile, the pleasant face, but they don't serve the same God you do. An unholy union is something that's mixed in the world and not. The folks who came up to him were Samaritans. They intermingled with other races. Many times, listen, God doesn't want God and world. He wants the Lord. And they're saying, "Hey, listen, we serve the same God you do." Many times we have to look for fruit in individuals. Unholy unions keep the church from moving on. Amen? We can't mix it. And man, I'll test this, and I know me and Allie had this conversation. You can't have holy worship going on and secular music jamming right next to you. And then say, "Hey, listen to me. We have this secular music that's lifting up the enemy, but we want you all to join in and praise the Lord." Oh, he's preaching now. I've been to some churches in our area, and they're huge churches. And they glorify playing secular music in their mid between the music changes. Come on. What are we trying to do? What are we really trying to do? And I recognize one of those songs from the early 70s. And none of those guys were saved on any level. Now, I'm not saying every secular music is demonic, but you can't commingle this and this and expect God to do something. It's just not going to happen. The Samaritans were coming up, and many of them weren't serving the Lord. Yes, they served Jehovah, but they also served a whole other gods too. And they're saying, "Hey, we want to help you build." But if leadership knows what's going on, you don't mix this with this. Because it's going to pull it down. Any unholy union, believe me, hurts the body of Christ. Is that good? Listen, you can't worship many gods. You've got to worship the God. Amen? What I've noticed that when God wants to do something, they spoke, "Hey, we worship like you do." Half-truths, listen, are the most dangerous lies they are. Because they sound good, but all of a sudden it turns to another way. Yes, they sought Jehovah. That was true, but not fully. They sought other things too. When we put God first, he's first alone. Amen? Amen? Come on. What do we really want to see? We were talking about binding the strong man, but yet still entertaining him. How's that ever going to work? And when you get on the other side of this planet, everything that you've done secular will be burned up in that consuming fire. I do not want to remember things that are secular when I'm at the throne forever. Oh, I'm preaching now. Hay, wood, and stubble has got to go. Our God is a consuming fire. Only that which is pure will remain. Here's what heaven's like. Everything that defiles will be burned away. For only that which is pure may remain. That's what heaven's going to be like. That's why our life will be tried. What will remain will be Christ in us, the hope of glory. The words that we hear, those great principles that God taught us, the Holy Ghost, that's what will remain in us. The Bible says this, our rewards are the same way. If we've done things for God, it'll be there. But if it's hay, wood, and stubble, it will be burned up. Every fleshly motive will be done away with. Amen? Isn't that cool? There'll be no lust, there'll be no envy, there'll be no anger. All those former things are done away with. but Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm hoping you're getting this. As your pastor, you're going to leave here with what you possess in your spirit. And if it's God, it'll remain. If it's nothing there, there's nothing there. That will not be there. You will not think about a secular thing when you're there. Amen? Oh, come on. Every example that's been given in Scripture was for our account. Even the failures that were written in there were for our account. You can learn from this. We have their record. Lord, we want to live it right. Amen? Are you enjoying tonight? When I look at the enemy, some people say they fear the Lord, but what does that mean? I'm not talking about just, does they really reverence him? If we really do, it changes our countenance. It changes our life. More than ever, I see the enemy just lulling the church to sleep. It's time to wake up the mighty man. It's time to pray. And here's the next thing I know. I've seen great men and women compromise because of offering. Pastor, don't preach that, and I'll bless your offering. I've seen that happen. I've seen people controlled by the dollar. And I'm talking about serious money. Pastor, just stay away from this, and you know, I'll make sure there's always enough in the offering. I had a pastor buddy had to deal with that. He was in Texas, and there was a big rancher there that he had tons of dough. And he got hired into this ministry, this new pastor, as a pastor. You just stay away from this stuff, and I'll always make sure there's enough money for your salary, cover the church expenses. Well, he really grappled with it. He really did. This guy was the big, it kept it going there. He said, you know what? No, I'm not going to do it. He said, the Lord wants me to preach the word of God. Even if your offerings aren't there anymore, I'm going to live for God. Amen. I mean, that was a step for this guy. And believe me, it was covered there. The previous pastors followed that line. That goes on in the kingdom. That's strongholds that need to come down. But some people are caught in that reality. Lord, touch and work. Well, he stood up and says, no. And believe me, he said, for months we suffered. For months we struggled. It was no, all of a sudden, God said, boom, and it was all there. But he said, little by little, the Lord began to show himself faithful. Amen? He learned that when he was hungry, he'd ask, you know what, I need some food. And somebody in the congregation, I got a meal for you. Isn't that cool? He humbled himself. Look, I need this. And little by little, God provided for him until there was a surplus there. Say amen. Amen. When it comes to those areas, we need it. We can't be unequally yoked together in that. That's just not only in marriage. That's in relation too. We just can't go like a little bit of God and a little bit of the world and just mix it all together. That doesn't work. Oil and water don't mix. Amen. We have to look and say, that which is holy. I want this church to be what God wants it to be. Now, we're loving, yes. We're kind, yes. Lord, we're gracious, yes. But we're still living for God. Amen? Listen to this verse in John 15, verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, I've chosen you out of it. Therefore, the world hates you. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. Don't he be equally yoked with unbelievers? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? There were Samaritans that came up and said, hey, we want to help you build this. And Ezra said, no, you say you serve our Jehovah, but you serve other gods too. Amen. When I look at the church body, I know this for a fact. I've seen large gifts tear up people. Satan offers to help can never be good. Don't be deceived because Satan is smiling. Reject the world and soon it's going to trouble you, no doubt about it. Second area that Satan uses to hinder God's work is to always weaken the people's hands. In Ezra chapter 4, verse 4, then all the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah, and they troubled them in their building. If you can't be unequally yoked, if you can't water it down and just keep it lukewarm, he'll try to stop your hands from doing something good. You may be doing the best job ever, and somebody comes along and just blasts you. Amen? I've had more attacks, and I know my brother Don over here will attest to this. I've had more attacks after a Sunday service than ever on any time in my whole life. And sometimes I marvel at, man, I didn't see that. I didn't expect that to happen. I'm serious. And sometimes it's the most unbelievable comments, like almost like, do you really know what you're even saying at this moment? Sometimes I look right in people's eyes and look at them, do you really know what you just said? And yet people just flow like a river. Sometimes people don't even know they're being used by the enemy. Lord, touch them. Open up their eyes to see. Amen? Because I know some of them say some stuff, if they could hear themselves, they'd be like, I said that, man. Is this too much tonight or no? When I look today, weaken in our hands. Sometimes we have to go, no, well, I'm doing a good thing. I'm not coming down from the wall. Nehemiah said that. It's amazing. His tactics are always there. You put your hand to the plow. I want your hands off the plow. Now, I had this for a time. Has anybody ever taken a bicycle and ran over like a hole or a pothole or a rock and your hands came off the handlebars? How many ever fell over the front end? Okay, notice you're out of control, true? And all these things, like all the movies, like, you know, they're floating down and you have time to look around and look at their watch. Man, accidents happen. You don't have time. If you've ever fell off a ladder, it's boom. It isn't like, hey, I'm going to go down and just grab this and on my way and plant my feet like a cat. No, it's like wham. Your ears down, wham. There's no time for that. Well, think about putting your hands to the plow. The enemy's always trying to smack your knuckles. Oh, I can preach that. He's always trying to smack your knuckles to get your hands off the plow. Because he knows if you let go, you're going over it. You're going over the bars. And soon you'll have more damage than there. Sometimes you just got to go, no, I'm not. My hands aren't too weak. Amen. Every child of God, every man or woman, you'll end up with calluses sooner or later. Not because you're hardened, because you've dealt with it. You're aged. You have to have some thick skin in Christianity too. Don't be quickly offended. No, don't take that bait. Not that it doesn't taste good, neither am I eating it. Amen? Listen, if things get dry, keep going. Satan wants to weaken your hands. No, don't. Keep them there. Keep going. You know what I've noticed? No matter how long the field is, sooner or later you get to the end. Now, I know this for a fact. There was one time we had this 120-acre parcel we had to put wheat in. It's called winter wheat. And we transformed it from soybeans to winter wheat. Well, back then we went through all the stages. Now they have better discs. They have no-till stuff now. Back then we plowed, we disc, we cultivated, we did all that stuff. We had to turn this field back over and put some other things in the ground. And 120 acres, if you've ever seen a parcel that big, it's huge. I mean, it's huge. And say you're going 6 or 7 miles an hour on a tractor, it seemed like it takes you forever to get to the other side. And I remember I had to work this whole field up, and I had to get it done in a day. There's no way I can cover that much ground in a day. There's just no way. At this mile an hour, this distance, these obstacles. So it was going to be a 24-hour go for it. Say amen. I had fuel brought out. I had lunch brought out. I had dinner brought out. It never stopped. I remember when I finally finished the field and I lifted up, we had all these hydraulics. And I lifted up and I looked back and I'm like, I can't believe it's done. I want us to enter heaven that way. It's done. Say amen. Amen. There's no regrets. There's no looking back. There's your mission. There's your field. Keep going. Say amen. Amen. Now, if I get your hands off the wheel, guess what's going to happen? You'll crash and burn. And there are a lot of people that are in the ditch today because they left their hands be somewhere else. Oh, amen. Third area the enemy uses, I'm running out of time here. Third area the enemy uses is accusations. He's an accuser of the brethren. If you had taken notes, in Ezra 4, verse 12, verse 15, verse 21 through 24, accusations begin to flow. Satan will accuse you even if you've done everything right. He'll still accuse you. He'll try to commingle. He'll try to weaken your hands, and then he'll try to accuse. Each area is to get you off track. Amen? And it's amazing how we'll chase our own tails for some tale that's been told about us. Don't listen to it. If you know the truth and Jesus knows the truth, that's enough. Amen. If somebody wants to go down that road, amen. And have you ever noticed when you were in the world, you cared a whole lot less about some things. But once you got saved, it seemed like what bothers you didn't bother you when you weren't saved. Why is that? Why is that? It should be less now, amen? What did they tell Jesus? You have a demon. That's what they told Jesus right to his face. And you know what? You're the father of them. How'd you like to look in the Son of God's face and say that to him? Oh, you're born of Mary and Joseph. Come on. Commingled, weakened your hands, accusations. Satan still uses all of these. And sometimes, listen, the way we respond is so important. If we can step over these areas, you know what? You're not giving up. I want people that won't give up. I need that. Amen? If we're going to go to battle and we are in a war, then I don't want people retreating. I'm not talking about R&R. You need some rest and relaxation sometime. But I want people that are going to be in the trenches and keep that plow going. Keep that thing going. Amen? Because it's only then we'll get victory. The church cannot receive what God has unless it's in position. Amen? We have to look for fruit and fruit that remains. We have to watch over those areas. And I have to watch my own mouth too, that I don't respond back the way I've been responded to. How many are quick-tempered in here? Okay? Lord, help us. Amen? Lord, I don't want to respond that way. When Jesus said when he was reviled, he didn't revile back. That's a lot of character. I haven't revived yet. Anybody perfect here yet? But I want to get there. I want to get to the place where that doesn't even bother me. I heard it, but it's not bothering me. I need to gauge it off of truth. Amen? Now, if there's areas that we need to repent and humble ourselves, that's a different story. But the church cannot enter common union or communion with religious idols, with the opinions that are wrong or strange doctrine. We can't go that way. If we're yoked with that, then we have nothing. Amen? Listen, there are liars and wicked talkers all over the place. They trouble everything that's peaceful. I remember one time I was in a service, and I was sitting on the front row, and this lady came up, and I could just sense in my spirit, man, something's going to go down here. And she walked right up on the platform while the pastor is preaching and grabbed a side mic. You know what? I didn't wait for her to speak, I'll be honest with you. You know what I did? I snatched the mic out of her hand. And she got mad at me in front of the whole congregation. The pastor didn't ask you to go up there and speak. And she goes like this, I have a word for the whole church. Praise the Lord, lady. Come on outside. We'll hear your word. Are you with me? That's out of order. And her word wasn't for the church. It wasn't even for Jesus. How many know sometimes that will manifest? The enemy, we have to be wise. Well, we're mature enough here to handle it, true? But what about if it wasn't? How many people have been led astray by stray, strong, stupid doctrines? It starts off good, it starts off great, and it ends up way over there. Lord, we want that which is true and holy. Amen? Well, the pastor, after service, because he kept going after that. I came back, lady ushered out, dealt with that, cussed me out there. Amen? Praise the Lord for Jesus. And I remember after service, pastor came and goes, what was that? I go, I don't really know. I just knew something was wrong. He goes, thanks for snatching that mic out. Amen? I'm sure he'd have done it, but hey, that's goofiness. There's no goofiness in this house, amen? Come on. Solid, that which is strong and faithful. But we have to be those people. If we don't know the truth, believe me, we'll believe a lie. We've got to know the truth. And listen, there may be those, and I don't know of anybody here, but I know this for a fact. The enemy wants to bring in people and place them to bring disruption. Every church has to deal with wolves in sheep's clothing. And sometimes the wolf may be the best looking thing you've ever seen. Come on. There are many times it's undetectable in the natural. But you have to be in the spirit. And I'm always cautious of this too. When people will only go to the altar for somebody else's attention. Why are you there even? Amen? Look at me, because I'm surely looking at you. Praise the Lord. When I look at Jesus, he's going to build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Ezra's giving us a key. Don't commingle with this. Don't let them weaken your hands. Say amen. What was the third one I just gave you?
Accusations.
If we can keep ourselves in those arenas, can you see how they're, no, I'm doing a good, I'm not coming down. Just like Nehemiah says, I'm not coming down. I'm not quitting what I'm doing. I'm not allowing you to get self-glory and slow us down. I'm not letting you weaken our hands, and I'm not going to let you speak that in this situation. Those three areas Ezra had to deal with to bring victory, it's going to be no different for us. It may take on different veins and things, but the truth is it's still there. Amen? It's foolish to believe that an unconverted world will change the world. It's only those who've been changed by his power. Can you see how the enemy would love this? I'll close with this. Having somebody behind the pulpit that isn't even saved, preaching the word of God. Can you think of anything more irony than that? That the pastor isn't even saved, preaching the word of God. Satan has a heyday there. He loves that to the greatest degree. But you live for the Lord, you're going to trouble his kingdom, Satan's kingdom. But we're in this together. No one left behind. But I want us now to start to focus on people bringing down strongholds, opening up understandings, an opportunity to speak the word. Amen? And I need you, all of you, to do this in church. Please do this. When you start praying for people, the Lord may bring ailments to mind. Start calling that out. Maybe it's a heart condition. Start to pray through that. I know when I start to address it and pray for it, it usually manifests. I'll prove it to you. If I spend time praying for souls, what happens? Be honest. Somebody's going to get saved, true? If I'm praying for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get filled. So if I expect that to happen, then I expect it in prayer. Then pray for it to happen. That when we come together, somebody has a heart ailment, boom, they're healed. Because you've already covered it there, and now it's manifesting now. That was Jesus' prayer life. I want our church to get to the place where he was healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. Isn't that cool? And since so many of us are doing it, no one gets the glory but God. Amen. Do you enjoy tonight? I'm just scratching this.